Okay, hope everyone's well. We are up to Hilchos Tefila, Perikei Halachahei, and we're dealing with the eight things that are important to ensure you have a good tefila, but are not ma'akev. And so if a person didn't have them, they could still be mispala. So Halachahei, we come up to Tikkun Mabushim, how a person should dress. So Ketzad, Misakim Mabushav, Ketzad, Misakim Mabushav Tefila. So what does he do? He fixes his clothes first. So you really have to look good. A person has to dress well when they daven. Now, there's no clear barometer what that means. You know, to some they'll say it means wearing a suit. Others will say respectful. There's no real clear halacha of what exactly a person's supposed to wear when they daven. But it should be something nice, meaning something you can argue you have to be able to see yourself as if you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would stand to reason you'd want to use clothing that best reflects that reality. So that's what a person should aim for. However, what's the negative? So you can't daven like in an undershirt, okay? That you're not supposed to do. Velo barosh megula, velo baraglai megulos. Okay, you also can't daven with your head uncovered, nor barefoot, okay? Nor barefoot. So that's an important thing as well. Im derech anshei makom, right? Shelo yamdu b'fnei hagdolim, ela b'batei raglayim. So as long as, in general, the way of people to stand before someone important is to always wear shoes. So shoes seem to be a general requirement. And then today, you get into all sorts of interesting questions, assuming we take shoes in a literal sense. Are flip-flops considered shoes? So someone argue they're not because shoes always have something to hold back the heel. So there are those who discuss this issue. Okay, and there's another important halacha. Lo yachos tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah bizro v'yispala v'nei shalibo tarad b'hem. Okay, so a person should never daven Shemoneh Esrei while holding tefillin, for example, or, like holding his tefillin, or if he's holding a sefer Torah in his arm, because he's going to be worried about it. Okay, he's going to be worried about it. Not only that, v'lo yachos kelim u'maos biyado. And also, he shouldn't hold, like, other things in his hand, like money, etc. Okay? Now, that's an important point. For two reasons. Number one, the Rambam's implying here that something that would cause you to be tarud when you're davening, if you had it on you, you should consider whether you should have that with you. So even though technically the halacha is even having it in your hand, some would even say, for instance, keeping money in your pocket. We're always worrying about our money. And when you have your money in your pocket, it's normal to be tarud about that. So you should daven in a way where nothing that could possibly distract you is on your person, and this way you're able to focus better. However, aval mispalel hu. Oh, excuse me. And one other point, when it comes to using a sitter, okay, and this is also very important. When you hold a sitter in your hand, okay, the idea of using the sitter is that it should be something to help you focus. Okay. However, if a person holds a sitter and he's not really using it. So there's a question whether that's the appropriate thing to do. I mean, you should be reading out of the sitter every time you're holding it. Otherwise, it's like you're holding something extra that you don't need. So keep that in mind when you daven. To always, if you do daven using a sitter, daven Shemoneh Esrei with a sitter, you should be focused on it. However, and this is from the Gemara, you can daven Shemoneh Esrei with the lulav in your hand. So since it's part of the mitzvah of the day, you can do that. Okay. Right? Okay, so let's say he's carrying a load. Okay, he's carrying something. So if it's four kabin or less, let's assume it's light, so he can kind of swing it behind him and daven. I mean, he's still holding on to it. However, it's more than four kabin, he has to put it down. Now that's an important point too. The way of Chachamim and their students is to always daven with their heads. Now, atuf doesn't just mean like a yarmulke. Atuf means your whole head covered. Okay? Your whole head covered. And that's where the idea comes from. I mean, certainly the Rambam, as you'll see, is talking about a talis, but that does lead to the idea of how some people wear a hat when they daven, let's say, mincha mariv, because that's considered a type of atifa. It's unclear whether that really is the case, but there is a notion that when a person davens, his head should be covered, not just for the yarmulke, but he says for a chacham, really his whole head. And that's also derived from the Gemara. Okay, halacha vav. Tikkun ha-makom, okay? So what's Tikkun HaMakom refer to? Kate said, Yamod Makom Namuch, the Yachzir Panav Lekosel. Okay. So if he should daven in a low area, okay, and he should be facing a wall. Vitzarach Liftoa Chalonos Obsachim connected Yerushalayim. Interesting. And the windows and doors should be opened facing Yerushalayim. Kedeli Yispala Kenegdan, Shnemar, Vichavim Psichonle, Beilise, Vigomer. Okay, so it's an interesting halacha that the Rambam holds that the windows should be open. Now here, it doesn't necessarily mean that if they're see-through, they have to be open. I think more the idea is that it should be visible. Okay, Kenegid Yerushalayim. Okay, the Koveya Makom Motivaso Tamid. That's a real idea. A person should always have his makom to where he davens. And that always raises interesting tensions in shuls where members, you know, have their makom and then they don't want someone else saying in their makom. There is a halacha that a person has their makom tefillah. You can't daven like in a destroyed area, like let's say even there's a question even an archaeological ruin, and not only that, you can't daven behind the shul. With your back to the shul, rather you should be facing the shul. Thus, relationship at sada omei betfila. Now, this is also a very important halacha. You should not sit down next to someone who's saying Shmona Esrei, olav or lefanav, or walk in front of him. This is one of the halachas that it just boggles my mind how people are not careful about this. Okay, when a person's davening Shmona Esrei, all right, you cannot walk in front of them. You cannot walk in front of them. All right, you have to be 4 amos away. It's a clear halacha. Not even a question. And often in shuls, I mean, like you'll have situations where people are davening. That's why I always tell people it's a mistake. Never daven in the back of a shul. It's a big problem because if you daven in the back of a shul, people are going to walk in front of you. Right? Or if you come late to shul, go somewhere to the side or go to the front. But when you daven in the back of a shul, you're creating a situation where people end up walking in front of you. You have to keep 4 amos away. And this is such a critical halacha that they bring down, or Shlomo Zalman brings down, that a kohen is allowed to violate this halacha if he has to leave the shul to go wash his hands for Birkas Kohanim. Right? So he has to tell you there's a matir because that's a daraisa. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. So it's unfortunate that people are very lax about that. But it's critical. You should not walk in front of someone who's davening Shmona Esrei. And as you'll see later on also, when it comes to taking your 3 steps back, you also can't take your steps back into someone else who's davening Shmona Esrei in their Dalai Lamas. Okay, Halacha Zayim. Lo yamod b'makom gavoa shloshot v'acham yosra v'ispal. Okay, so you can't stand on a raised area, okay? Again, in contrast to the ground. 3 tfachim or more. And again, these are like examples. Velo agave mitza, velo agave salsa, velo agave kise. So you can't daven standing on a chair. You can't daven standing like on a bench or on a bed. All these situations, you're off the ground. However, haya binyan gavoa, right? Im yeshba arba amos, right? Shu shir bias. But if that raised area is 4 amos by 4 amos, then it becomes harayu ka'aliyah mutalis balabo. So then you can argue it becomes like an attic, and therefore it's mutal to daven there. Vechei nimaya mukov mechitzas mikol rukosov. And if you put like walls around you, okay, even if it's less than 4 by 4, if you're enclosed in the area, so then it's like your own rishus, and then you mutter to daven there. Okay, halacha ches. Now we saw these guys back in Hilchos Kriya Shema when it came to the issue of kavana. Ha'umanim shayu osin malacha b'rosha ilan b'rosha nidvach b'rosha kosal. So yeah, let's say you have workers. And they work, let's say they're fruit pickers, and they pick fruit on the top of a tree, okay? V'giyaz man tefila. Now remember, by Kriya Shema, they're able to say Kriya Shema while they're up on the tree. But when it comes to Shmona Esrei, yordin lamata, mispala mechozim alachta. So basically, halacha says, there's no way you can have kavana in that type of situation. So you go down from the tree in Davin, and you go back to malacha. V'imhaya v'rosha zayis v'rosha teina. Now, this is, the reason why it's the case is, there are two kinds of trees, okay? One kind of tree is a tree where there's a fear of falling, okay? And there's a whole machlokas we've shown in what exactly that means. Is it because it's really, really high? Or is it because the branches are less stable? And then other kinds of trees where that fear doesn't exist. So if you're on an olive tree or on a fig tree, mispalam in koma, meisha tircham ruba. So the Rambam holds that the reason why you can stay there and daven in the Rosh Hashanah is because there's more tircha involved in getting down and coming back up. And then what's going to end up happening is a person's going to be worried about, is going to make his daily wages. So the halacha there is that when it comes to that kind of specific tree, the person's worker can mispala in the makom izim. Umahe mispalim, okay. And what do they say? Im hayu osin bu sudasan bilvad mispalin shlosh filo shal tishas har brachos. Hayu osin b'shechra mispalin habinenu Right. So in these situations, if they're in a situation of a meal, so then they stop and say Shmona Esrei. But if there's an issue of how much they're going to get paid, they can say that shortened version of tefillah. Halacha test. Now, this is also very important. Okay, what's supposed to happen when you daven in so far as being able to hear yourself? Okay, how loud is a person supposed to daven Shmon Esrei? Okay, so the Rambam says Hashvayas Akol Ketzat. So what does it mean? What's the idea of what kind of sound or how should you be heard when you daven? Lo Yagbia Kol B'Tefila. So that's very important. A person should never daven too loud. Okay, ever. Lo Yispal B'Libo. But you also can't basically just daven silently. Ela Mechase Chadvar B'Sfasov. Right. Umashmiya LaOzna B'Lachash. So what do you do? You move your lips, right? And you say the words in loud enough that you'll be able to hear what you're saying, belachash, whispering, okay? So essentially, that's what it is. It's whispering. It's whispering to the point where you can hear what you're saying, right? But not enough that it's considered to be loud. Below yashmia kolo, right? And you shouldn't hear his voice, right? Your voice should never be heard. Elaim ken hayachola, o she'enu yachol l'chaven es libo, ad yashmia kolo reza mutter, unless you're sick. Okay. Well, vachol yehebet zibor. Okay, because lo titarav daita mikolo. And again, that's an important point. But even by the chola, if he's in zibor, he can't do it. Point being is that what's the problem with davening Shmon Esrei loud? It disturbs everyone else's Shmon Esrei. Okay. Now it goes without saying, obviously, that if someone talks, is having a conversation next to someone who's davening Shmon Esrei, that's also a problem. Obviously. So there's no need for the Rambam to say that. But even when a person's davening, someone can really feel their frumkeit coming out by whatever emotions you want to exhibit while they're davening, and that causes them to say it loud. That's a problem. That's a serious problem because you're disturbing other people's Shmon Esrei. Okay, halacha yud. Now we're going to get into the various ways you bow for Shmon Esrei. Okay. And it's important to listen to how the Rambam puts it, because again, it's echoes from the Gemara. There might be some new things in here. But for those people who know me well, I've discussed these issues before in various shiurim. So Lacha Yod, the Rambam says, Kriya, Ketza. Okay, so this is bowing. Okay, how does a person bow? So first, you're going to explain when you bow. So Mispalal, Kore Chamish Kriyos B'chol Tefila Tefila. There are only five times that you bow in every Tefila. Okay, that's it. Five times. All right, no other time. And what are those? Right, bebracha bishana b'tchil v'sof, uvahodaya b'tchil v'sof. So you do magen avram. Excuse me. You do baruchat Hashem when the in berachah shebach, magen avram. What do you call it? Modim and atov shimcha. Those are the four in Shmona Esrei. And then ukushigomer atvila. When you finish your tefila, korea. This is very important. You bow, right? So it's unfortunate. Not everyone takes that as seriously. That you have to bow for that also, right? So you bow and you take uposea shlosh psios la'acharav, and you take three steps back. Now psia in halacha is not like little tiny baby steps. It's actually a heel to toe. That's really what a person should take in terms of steps back are. So you take your three steps back. It's a good question what three means. Does three mean complete steps? Does it mean one, two, three, whatever? So whole machlokas is about that. Okay, ukushahu korea nosin shalom mismol atzmo. So when you bow, right, you bow to the left, okay. But now again, no sin shalom mismal atzmo. There's a big question: what that means? Does that mean that you bow to the left, or does that mean you're bowing and you turn your head to the left? It's unclear. No sin shalom could mean that you kind of turn your head to the left, whereas as you're bowing, you turn your head to the left to say hi, so to speak, to no sin shalom. Or does it mean that you actually bow facing the left? Okay. So when you do that, you give to the small first, v'achach miyam anatzmo, right? And then v'achach magbiya roshu minakriya. So after you go left and then right, and then you stand up straight. Ukushu korea, okay? Okay, so that's one. Now, ukushu korea ba'arba hachrios, korea ba'baruch, ukushu zoke b'shem. Also, very important halacha. When you bow only for baruch ata. You're upright for Hashem. You never say Hashem's name in a state of kriya. It's baruch ata down and then up for saying Hashem. Okay, b'medvar more in behedjot about kohen gadol, right? Korea b'tchilah kol bracha v'sof kol bracha. There's a special halacha by the kohen gadol that he would bow before and after each bracha in Shmon Esrei. And the melech kivan sheshachav rishona, once he bows at first for the beginning of Shmon Esrei, Eino magbia rosh rasha gomer kol filaso. He can't lift his head up until he finishes tefillah. Now it makes sense because the idea of bowing is really an acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you're bowing before him, before someone of more importance. The melech, because his stature is one where he is really a very important person as perceived by society, it's even more important that he recognize who he is standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other thing that's important is that there are no other times, right, that a person is supposed to bow during tefillah. Okay? Now, what's the famous one? There's, for instance, a Naleno. So, V'anachnu korim mishtachem emodim. Now, it is funny because we're not talking about that an act of bowing. We're saying that we bow when we hear God's name, right? But it's very funny because we only do korim, but we don't do mishtachem, which is very strange because if you're going to actually act out what it says in Aleinu, then it should be both kriya, which is bowing down, and ishtachavaya, which is prostrating yourself. So I never understood why people just bow for v'nachnu korim. But regardless, the Chachamim set up that there's only five bows you do throughout tefillah. There's no other time that they set up the idea of bowing. So anywhere else, that includes Baruch Hu too, by the way. Also by Baruch Hu. There's no idea, at least from the Rambam's period of time, of bowing down for Baruch Hu. The only time you bow down are the five times in Shemona Esrei, and that's it. No other time. Okay? Okay. Now the Rambam says, V'lama nosin shalom l'smolo t'chila. So why does a person know Saint Shalom to his left? Nesha smolo hu yamin shekeneged pano, because your left is the right, you're facing God. So that's God, so to speak, right. Klomar, kishu omen lifnei melech, right? If he's standing before the king, nosin shalom yamin melech. He would give shalom to the right of the king. V'achach l'smol melech, right? V'kavush yiftar min atfilah k'mosh yiftar lifnei melech. So they made it so that the same way you address greet or say goodbye to the king in such a way, they took that idea and they put it into tefillah. So when you end your davening, right, it's like you're supposed to feel like you're leaving from the king. That's also the reason why, as we'll see later on, you take your step forward to return to the king when it comes to kedusha. So what a person's supposed to feel like when they step back is as if they're literally leaving the presence of the king. Okay, halacha yudbeis now. What is the structure, the tzura of a kriya? Kol kriyos ha'ilu tzarech shi'charei abahen ad shi'ispachuku kol chayo shebashidra v'yasa atzmo kekeshes. A person has to bow down to the point where his vertebrae are sticking up in his spine, and he's like a bow. That's pretty far down, okay? That's not like a little thing. It's unfortunate that people do that today. A kriya, halacha kriya, means going pretty far down. I'd say anywhere from like 60 to 90 degrees, enough where you feel your vertebrae poking out. Okay, very important. That is a kriya of Shemona Esrei. V'mshacha ma'at v'tzir atzmo. The only excuse to get out of it is for people who have back pain. Meaning, if you bow down, right, you don't have to bow down all the way if it causes back pain. Okay, so what you do is v'nireka korea b'kol kocho v'nechoshesh. So what do? You bow to the point before it would hurt. Okay, and that's considered sufficient for a kriya. But what people do today, well, many people do today, they don't do an act of kriya. Kriya requires you to bow down at least, I'd say, 60 to 90 degrees when you're saying those brachas in Shemona Esrei. Okay, lach yud gimel. Na hishtachavaya. What's hishtachavaya? Hishtachavaya refers to prostrating. Prostrating, as you'll see, he'll describe it soon, but prostrating is similar to what we do by Yom Kippur. Hishtachavaya ketzad. Now, this is very important. After a person picks himself, his head up, right, from the final bow, bending over of Oseh Shalom B'Mrovav, okay, Yoshev La'aretz, V'nofel Alpanov Arza, okay, U'mischane Mekol Tachanum Shirtze. So what happens? As soon as you're done with Shemona Esrei, okay, you fall to the ground, okay, you prostrate yourself, okay, and you say all the mischanin kola tachanunim shiyirtze. You pour your hat out, your heart out of all the supplications that you want to say to God. Okay, tachanun is the period of time of personal tefillah. It's supplications. That's the feeling that tachanun is supposed to really have, not the cheering that people have. We don't say tachanun. And it's very important to also notice that the way the Rambam sets it up, it's literally supposed to be like the moment Shemona Esrei is over, right, you automatically fall on Tachanun, which is why you can't really have a hefsik, all right? If you're davening Shemona Esrei, right, and let's say you're hearing Chazrat Shashatz, And as he finishes, before you do takana and look, you say hi to your friend, that's a hefsek. There's supposed to be a natural transition from the state of Shemoneh Esrei, where you're omed lifnei Hashem, to the state of prostrating yourself and mischane mikol tachanun shiurtza. The physical positions you're in contradict each other beautifully. Okay? Now, what are these positions? So, kriya hamor b'chamakam avrekayim. Okay? So, kriya is where you bow down, okay, to the point of basically your knees. Kida alapayim. Now, that's where you fall down, right, on your knees, okay, and you're sticking your head kind of down to the ground, which looks very, what do you call it, which looks very like how Arabs daven. Kida is probably the way that Muslims pray, okay, in the sense that they lean their head, down. In other words, you know what I'm talking about, that position they have when they're, when they're praying. Hishtachavaya is that pishu d'daim raglayim. Ra'acha nimsa muta panavarza, but Hishtachavaya is you're flat on the ground, meaning your stomach is on the ground, and your arms and legs are extended, okay? So that your face is literally on the ground itself. That's Hishtachavaya. So the Rambam held, that's what you do for Tachanun, okay? You prostrate yourself. And as I've told people many times, Tachanun would be much more fun today, and people would pay much more attention to it if Hishtachavaya was still in the cards. It's unfortunate that that's not done anymore. Okay. Halacha Yudalid. So kishu osa nefilas panim achar tefila. Now again, he qualifies it. Yesh misha hu osa kida, the yesh misha osa yishtachavaya. So he says there are some people who do kida, which again picture the way Muslims pray, and then there's some who say yishtachavaya, which is full prostration. Okay, but either way, it's certainly not falling on your arm, sitting down and putting your head on your arm. That's something that was a later development. That is not the way tachanun was originally set up. So then he says, "V'asu lasos yishtachavaya alavanim ela mikdash." That's a deraisa. You can't do prostration on stone on a stone floor except in the base of mikdash. K'moshi b'yarnu b'halacha b'hilchos avodah kochavim, which we saw already. And then another halacha is, "V'ein adam chashuv rashai lipa apanav." I think we can huyodeh b'atzmo shu tzadik Yoshua. Now he says a person can't do prostration unless he knows that he is a tzadik like Yoshua, right? So what does he do instead? He says, "Aval mata panam ad v'ina kovish osam b'karka." So that doesn't mean he doesn't prostrate, but he doesn't do full prostration. So he turns his head to the side, okay, and that's sufficient. Right. So and that's important. A person doesn't necessarily have to do tachanun in the same makam yidavenin. Again, he shouldn't talk, right? But he's allowed to go do nefilas panim in a different makam, okay? Now, another thing is the Gemara never talks about tachanunim any times not to say tachanun. You won't find that in the Gemara. So that's why in Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam says, Minog Pasha Bechol Yisrael, so the Minog became among all the Jews. She'ein Nefilas Apayim B'Shabbos V'Moadim. So we don't have Tachanun on Shabbos or on Yontav, V'lo B'Rosh Hashanah, V'lo B'Rosh Chodeshim, V'Chanukah V'Purim, V'lo B'Minchos Shah. Okay, so that's one. So on Shabbos and other Yumei Simcha, right, Tachanun out. And then after that, V'lo B'Minchos Shah Arvei Shabbos V'Yom Tovim, V'lo B'Arvei Shah V'Chol Yom. The other things that's, again, in the order he's going, and the other things were added on was mincha prior to Shabbos and prior to Yantav, as well as Maariv, okay? For some reason, Maariv, what do you call it? Tachanun was excluded from Maariv. So Rambam says, V'yeshu chidim shadofal panayim marvis. But you could still do Tachanun if you wanted to, right? There's no reason why a person couldn't do Tachanun if he really insisted on it. He felt like he needed to do some supplication. He's allowed to do it during Maariv. There's no Isser. People did it. Over Yom Kippur, Bovad, of course, in Yom Kippur, Noflim Apaneim, Bechol Tefilo Tefila, Meshuhu Yom Tchino, Makasha Vatainis. But of course, on Yom Kippur, right, we do Tachanun, some type of Tachanun every Tefila, because it is the day of Tchino, Makasha, and Tainis. Ah, but now the question is that true, right? Do we do that today? Do we do Tachanun, supplications in every single, Tefila? The answer is no. It's interesting that that's not done. So we do prostration when it comes to the the chazaras hashatz about the avoda. That's the only time we do that. But otherwise, there's no tachanun that we do in every tefillah on Yom Kippur. Okay. All right, you know what? Let's stop here, and we'll pick up Perek Vav on Sunday.